Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You are tuned in to Time to Talk About It. Remember, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We just give honor and glory and praise unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, just for allowing us to see this day. If you did not wake up and say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning, giving him a praise, you ought to do so just now. I tell you, we serve an awesome, wonderful, powerful, merciful, loving God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, we welcome you to Time to Talk About It. Thank you for being so mindful of us to just tune in today. I am your host, Sister Diane, and I will begin the broadcast with prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise, Lord Father. Thanking you, O God, for this day, Lord Father, a day, O God, that was not promised to us, Lord Father. We thank you, O God, how you woke us up this morning, clothing our right mind, Lord Father. Being able to do, Lord Father, not just for ourselves, O God, but for others as well, Lord Father. We thank you, we glorify, and we magnify you, Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, O God, we ask you for forgiveness, Lord Father, and those that we are praying for, Lord. Forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespassed against us, Lord. Heavenly Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, O Lord, you know each and every person, name by name, O God, and what they're in need of, Lord. Father, some ask for prayer for themselves, some ask for prayer for others, Lord Father. Father, we're thanking you right now for the prayers that you have already answered, about to answer, Lord Father, and answering as we pray, Lord. Father, we thank you, O God, for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Khalil right now, Lord Father, and we come against those seizures right now, Lord Father, that he's having, Lord Father. And Father, we speak peace right now, Lord Father, to every muscle, Lord Father, every joint right now. And we say line up with the word of God right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, as he prepare, Lord Father, to go into surgery, Lord Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over him from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet right now, Lord. Father, we thank you for being that surgeon right now, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for being all those in the room, guiding them right now, Lord Father, bringing him through, Lord Father God, surgery safely right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Michelle right now, Lord Father. Father, we are praying right now, Lord Father, as we cover her under the blood, Lord Father. Father, for your healing touch right now, Lord, flowing through and through her body right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you know what she's in need of, Lord Father, and we thank you, we glorify, and we magnify you. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Hubert right now, O God. We thank you, Lord Father, for bringing him through that surgery, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for the healing process that is taking place, Lord Father. Father, we continue to thank you, Lord Father, even for strengthening his wife right now, Lord Father. Shield and protect him right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Michael right now, Lord Father, asking you right now, Lord Father, to intervene on his behalf, Lord Father. Touch the paperwork that needs to be touched right now, Lord Father. Touch the people that are dealing with the paperwork, Lord Father. Father, we thank you for making ways out of no ways for him right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we continue, Lord Father, to pray, Lord Father, for Kenya, Lord Father, that suffered a stroke, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father. Lord Father, as she continue to recover from it, Lord Father, continue, Lord Father, to strengthen every area, Lord Father, that there may not be no side effects, Lord Father God, from it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for faith, Lord Father. And we ask you right now as we plead the blood of Jesus over her, Lord Father, regulate that blood sugar right now as we say, body, line up with the word of God. For by your stripes, Lord, we know that they are already healed right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Touch right now, Lord Father. Father, we praying today right now, Lord Father, against gun violences, Lord Father. Father, in the schools, Lord Father, in the neighborhoods right now, Lord Father. We plead the blood of Jesus over our schools, Lord, over our neighborhoods, our city and states, Lord Father. Father, we coming against that gun violence right now, and we pushing it back out into outer darkness right now, Lord Father. And Father, we thank you for your angels, O God, shielding and protecting our children, Lord Father. Father, let them, Lord Father, form that prayer circle in school, Lord Father. Let us teach our children, our grandchildren, Lord Father, that prayer changes things, Lord Father. And Father, that they too can call upon the Lord. Father, we just say thank you, Lord Father. We thank you for this day, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for everything that you're doing, Lord Father, have done and about to do, O God. We thank you, Lord Father, for being a merciful, loving, and forgiving God, O God. We thank you for this radio broadcast right now, Lord Father, that was founded by none other than our very own Apostle Gloria Cheever Porter, Lord Father. We thank you, O God, how you have used her, Lord Father. Father, to touch many lives, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, as we ask you, Lord Father, to cover this broadcast under the blood right now, Lord. And we cancel every and any assignment, O God, that was sent towards this broadcast. Try and hinder anyone listening or speaking on this broadcast, O God. Father, we thank you for the nations, O God, that this broadcast has reached and touched, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for our listeners right now, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for them, Lord Father, having the ear to hear and the heart to receive the word as they come forth this day, Lord Father. Father, we thank you how you continue to use your man and woman of God comes on this broadcast, Lord Father, to bring forth the word, Lord Father, what thus say the Lord. Father, we thank you for using them, Lord Father. And Father, as they pour out of themselves, Lord Father, we cover them back, Lord Father, and ask you to refresh, refill, and rejuvenate them, Lord Father. And keep that hedge of protection round about them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thanking you, Lord Father. When we say no weapons that is formed against them shall prosper, O God. We thank you, O God, for the fivefold ministry right now, Lord. We thanking you right now for your hedge of protection round about them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. You say we ought to pray for our leaders, Lord Father, and we're keeping them, Lord Father, on the prayer right now, Lord Father. Father, as we dispatch their warring and minister angels, standing guard round about them, O God. So, Father, I ask you right now, Lord Father, to touch the hearts and minds of your people, Lord Father, as the word come forth, Lord. Father, some word is to prepare, Lord Father. Some word is warning, Lord Father. Some word is comforting and encouraging, Lord Father. Father, we thanking you right now, Lord Father, for just showing up and showing out this day. We say, have your way, Holy Spirit. Take control right now of this broadcast right now. Take control of the speaker, Lord Father, as they decrease, as you increase right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, we thank you for every listener, Lord Father. Father, you know what they're in need of, Lord Father, and we thanking you right now, Lord Father, for touching their every needs right now, Lord Father. We thank you for touching every ailment, every sickness in their body as we come against it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, we thank you for traveling mercies for them, Lord Father. Father, we thanking you right now, Lord Father, for taking them deeper in you, Lord Father, as we cover them under the blood right now, Lord Father. We thank you for change of mindset right now. And Father, we continue, Lord Father, to honor the glory and the praise, O God, that's due unto your holy name. Now, Heavenly Father, as I come before you, O God, I ask you, O God, to decrease Pastor Dungy right now, Lord Father, as you increase in her, Lord Father. We ask you, O God, to use her this day as she let go and let you, O God, have your perfect way, Lord Father, in her, Lord Father. Father, I thank you, I glorify and I magnify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You all ought to give God the praise no matter what's going on. Give him the praise. Because we know when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me give you a word for today. There is no better way to thank God for your sight than by giving a helping hand to someone in the dark. I read it for you again. There is no better way to thank God for your sight than by giving a helping hand to someone in the dark. Hallelujah. So you know what? Reach out your hand today. Encourage and help someone today. Don't fail in telling them what God has done for you, what he has brought you through. Remember, your testimony of what God has done to you, for you, will bring others into the light. Remember, darkness is just the absence of light. So let your light shine forth. Hallelujah. I just want to introduce to you the speaker of the hour. I tell you, I thank God for her. I thank God that she never fails to answer the call. She's an author. She's a publisher. She's a counselor. She's a pastor, she's a prayer warrior, and most of all, she's my friend. And I tell you, y'all going to enjoy the word that is coming for today. So just shake off whatever heaviness that you have on and just pull on the Spirit today as the word comes forth. Let go and let God, just whatever it is that you're seeking for today, grab hold of it today. We have not because we ask not. And I thank you, Pastor Dungey, as she comes forth today. You all give her your ears, give her your heart, as God use her this day to bring forth the word. So I present to you none other than my friend, as I say, my sister pastor, Pastor Diana Dungey.
Amen. Good morning. Can you hear me, Mr. Benjamin?
Yes.
Praise God for you. And yes, I thank God for allowing our paths to cross. I guess it's been about three or four years, through our beautiful late apostle, Gloria Porter. Thank God for her, how she imparted in both of our lives. But I thank God for you, how you serve the mighty woman of God. And I just pray for deep God's divine healing hand to reach out and touch you right now. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, I pray that he saturates you with his healing, delivering blood right now in Jesus' name. Father, I know that there's no pain on earth that heaven can't heal. So I ask you, Lord God, right now to remove every pain, every spirit of discomfort in her bones, her ligaments, her tendons, in her back, Lord God, in every area, excuse me, of her body. I thank you, Father, right now for all that you're doing in her life. I praise you, Father, right now that you're doing a new thing, that you're turning things around. You're lifting her up and elevating her to a higher height and deeper depth in you. And we know the devil is not happy, and he's trying to do everything he can to stop it. But, Lord God, there's no stopping with you. Once, Lord God, you have ordained it. Once, Lord God, you have purposed it. Once, Lord God, you have destined it. There is no turning back. There is no stopping it. And I thank you, Father, that she's going forth in everything, every area that you have called and purposed for her. And I praise you for it right now. And, Lord God, we give you all the praise and all the glory that, Lord God, you will continue to take care of your daughter. And, Lord God, as she comes forth and continue to minister and give out your word, Lord God, I thank you that her ears will continue to be tuned to your lips, where she hear, does, and be, according to your will and your way. Bless this broadcast. Bless the Logion Ministry, Florida. Bless each and every one attached to it. Pastor George, Bishop Porter, Dink and Michael, and many others that are attached to this ministry. We thank you, Lord God, for touching each one of them now and being there at their most specific need. Thank you, Jehovah Jireh, for providing every need on this broadcast today. Every listener, Lord God, we thank you that it's already done. And we gather together today, Lord God, to give you the thanks and praise for your greatness. We praise your mighty works to the whole world. We praise you for your wonderful deeds. Your power is limitless. Your wisdom is unparalleled. Your grace is overwhelming. Your love is never failing. You promise, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So let us worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. You are our rock. You are the firm foundation for everything we build. You are the source of all true and lasting joy. We praise you for your power, which is beyond comparison. We praise you and worship you for your wisdom, which is beyond understanding. Oh, Father, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, and you meet every need. You restore the brokenhearted. You heal the wounded. You have revealed yourself to your people, and you are building your church, against which the gates of hell cannot and will not prevail against it. How great you are. how wonderful you are, how magnificent you are. You give gifts to your people for the good of the church. You equip and train your people to carry out the good works you have prepared for us in advance. And as we meet, as we come forth together today, we ask you, Lord God, to provide wisdom, guidance, and direction. Remind us that you are our loving ally. You are our fortress. You are our tower of strength. And you are our rescuer. Everything we need is found in you. Oh, Father, we thank you for healing the hurt, healing those that are sick, those, Lord God, suffering with any kind of sickness or disease. Over 3,000 years, 2,000 years ago on Calvary, your blood, Lord, shed was dead. Your blood, Lord God, was shed so that many will be saved, delivered, and set free. Cover the schoolhouse. Cover the jails. Cover, Lord God, the nursing home. Cover, Lord God, those that are at work today. Cover those, Lord God, in their homes. Oh, Father God, you don't miss a beat because you're omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Lord, you know all, you see all, and you're everywhere present at the same time. There is nothing, nothing that goes beyond your knowledge or your control. And we thank you for being God all by yourself this morning. Oh, Father, we praise you for your goodness and your mercy. There's nobody like you, King Jesus. Nobody like you, not in heaven and not on earth. Nobody loves you the way you love us. Nobody loves us the way you love us. You love us unconditionally. There's nothing we could ever do, nothing we could ever say, nothing we could ever be that caused you to stop loving us. Oh, we just praise you for that, Father. Because you loved us so much, we love you. And we want to do all that we can, Father, to represent you in all we do, say, and be. And we praise you again, Lord God, for this magnificent broadcast time to talk about it. We praise you, Lord God, for Minister Diane McGraw-Benjamin, that will never, the fire in her will never go out. Thank you, Lord God, that she will always, always, Lord God, represent you, and that you will always continue to lead her and guide her into all truth. Just be with my sister, Father, and keep her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, all you beautiful, blessed, and standing people out here in Time to Talk About It, Blog Talk Radio broadcast. This is Thursday, April 7th, 2022. Isn't it amazing how fast time is going? Time is winding up. We got to be ready. We don't know what's up ahead, but if we continue to keep our hands in God's hands, we don't have to worry about a thing. I want to talk to you today a little bit about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a key to deliverance. It's a key to peace, and it's a key to freedom. Forgiveness is a command. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Amen. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgiveness is a rather large topic covered in the Bible. You can read the Bible from cover to cover and come to the conclusion that it is all about forgiveness, forgiveness and love. There are layers and layers to the conversation on forgiveness. There's a forgiveness of what we must receive from God because of our sin. And this is what we often think about for this topic. But however, the Bible also shows us that directly tied to the forgiveness of our sin is our willingness to forgive when our relationships with each other are harmed in some way. Forgiveness is essential if we're going to grow as children of God. Part of the requirements for living the Christian life is walking in love. And you cannot successfully walk in love without walking in forgiveness. Forgiveness, the act or process of forgiving or being forgiven. Forgiveness, in a psychological sense, is an intentional and voluntary process by which one who may initially feel victimized undergoes a change in feelings and attitude regarding a given offense, and they overcome negative emotions such as resentment and vengeance. Now, the theorists, they differ, however, in the extent to which they believe forgiveness also implies replacing negative emotions with positive attitudes. And in certain legal contexts, forgiveness is a term for absolving or giving up all claims on account of debts, loans, obligations, and other claims. Forgiveness is not always what we think it is. In fact, when we are faced with a deep hurt that shakes us at our core, we even wonder if forgiveness is even possible. But as we gain a clear understanding of forgiveness, you'll see that it will become a lot less complicated. I heard it said before that forgiveness is like the person hits you with something, and then you take that object and continue to hit yourself with it. That means they've already did their stuff and walked on, but you have not let go of it. And so you continually to beat yourself up with the same situation they did. Unforgiveness. God's word speaks to the topic of forgiveness extensively. Forgiving is a choice. Forgiving someone is not going to feel warm and fuzzy. Rather, we make a choice to forgive, and if we don't believe forgiveness is a choice, the ability to forgive can seem out of our control. But rest assured, if God calls you to it, I guarantee you, you can do it. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. There was an article from the Mayo Clinic that explains forgiveness this way. It says, letting go of grudges and bitterness. When someone you care about hurts you, you can hold on to anger, you can hold on to resentment, and you can hold on to those thoughts of revenge. You can embrace forgiveness and move forward. Forgiveness is the act of pardoning an offender. In the Bible, the Greek word translated forgiveness literally means to let go. Just like the theme for this radio broadcast is let go and let God. As when a person does not demand payment for a debt, that's forgiveness. Jesus used this comparison when he taught his followers to pray in Luke 11:4. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive also forgive everyone who is in debt to us. Likewise, in the parable of the unmerciful slave, Jesus equated forgiveness with canceling a debt. In Matthew 18:23-34, that's really a real act of forgiveness when the slave owes by 10,000, 100,000 to his master, and his master forgave him and gave him a chance to pay back a little bit, and then somebody owed this person not even the 1% of what he owed to the master. And he couldn't forgive this person and put him in prison. So then when some people found out about what he did, they went back and told the master. And so the master said, you know what? Since you couldn't forgive after I forgave you in the multitude of what you owe to me, then you go to jail as well. God said, if we can't forgive, how do we expect him to forgive us? So we forgive others when we let go of resentment and give up any claim to be compensated for the hurt or loss we have suffered. The Bible teaches that unselfish love is the basis for true forgiveness, since love does not keep account of the injury. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. Who hasn't been hurt by the actions or words of another? Perhaps a parent constantly criticized you growing up, or a colleague sabotaged a project, or your partner had an affair. Or maybe you've had a traumatic experience such as being physically or emotionally abused by someone close to you. Yeah, I know these wounds can leave you with lasting feelings of anger and bitterness, even vengeance. But if you don't practice forgiveness, you might be the one who pays most dearly. By embracing forgiveness, you can also embrace peace and hope and gratitude and joy. Consider how forgiveness can lead you down the path of physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. It's the key to deliverance. It's the key to peace. And it's the key to freedom. Forgiveness means different things to different people, but generally it involves a decision to let go of resentment and thoughts of revenge. And you'll probably hear me say this over and over throughout this message. The act that hurt or offended you might always be, forgiveness will lessen the grip on you. The act that no matter how hurt or offended you might be, forgiveness will lessen the grip on you and help free you from the control of the person who harmed you. Forgiveness can even lead to feelings of understanding, empathy, and compassion for the one who hurt you. Can you imagine loving and having compassion for the person that hurt you? Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting or excusing the harm done to you or making up with the person who caused the harm. Forgiveness brings a kind of peace that helps you go on with your life. Here are some things that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not a feeling. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? If we wait around to feel like forgiving after a deep hurt, those feelings might never come. Feelings are unreliable guides, as Jeremiah just pointed out in Jeremiah 17:9. So don't wait on your feelings to shift before you make the decision to forgive. As you bring your hurt to God, your feelings will change. Another thing that forgiveness is not, it does not mean the same as trust. The Bible, The Bible clearly commands that we forgive. The Bible commands it. As the scripture I read to you earlier in Colossians 3:13, forgiveness is offered unconditionally, regardless of the offender's offense. That means that we forgive with or without an apology or any evidence of change in that person. Trust, however, is entirely different. Trust is solely based on tangible evidence that person is changing. In other words, trust is totally conditional. Forgiveness is unconditional. Trust is totally conditional. The condition is tangible evidence that the person is very repentant and they are transforming. Repentance and transformation is conditionally and is based, and that will cause you to trust them again. When we tangle up trust and forgiveness, we put ourselves in a vulnerable position and a high risk of getting hurt again. Another important thing to note, trust can only be repaired after forgiveness has taken place. In other words, it's impossible to trust someone when you haven't forgiven them. Amen. Forgiveness does not necessarily mean reconciling. If it's possible, it says in Romans 12:18, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I hesitate to say this because the entire Bible is the greatest love story ever told. It's a story of reconciliation of God and people through the death and resurrection of Jesus. So saying that forgiveness and reconciliation is important to God, that's an understatement. Yet people, yeah, you, me, everyone, we are all sinful. Some of us are even unrepentant. There are actually some people in this world that are unrepentant. And as a result, the relationship cannot be repaired with them. It may be unsafe, even physically or emotionally, to attempt reconciliation with someone that's unrepentant or don't want to change. If the hurtful event involves someone whose relationship you otherwise value, forgiveness can lead to reconciliation if you both want it. But this isn't always the case. Reconciliation might be impossible if that person has died or is unwilling to communicate with you. In other words, and in other cases, reconciliation might not be appropriate. Still, forgiveness is possible even though they're gone, even though they don't talk to you, even if reconciliation is not. In the end, reconciliation is the goal, but reconciliation is not necessary to forgive. prayerfully seek God for discernment on whether to reconcile a relationship. And forgiveness does not heal everything in a single moment. Psalms 147:3 says that he does heal the brokenhearted and binds up their wound. But when the pain of a past hurt still stings, sometimes we tend to think that we haven't forgiven that person. While we make the choice to forgive, it doesn't mean that we're going to instantly feel better. Healing is a journey best done with our Heavenly Father, but know this. Forgiveness is a necessary ingredient in the healing process. So without forgiveness, bitterness and resentment will begin to take root. But that same bitterness and resentment will slowly, possibly even stagnate your healing process if you don't let go of it, if you don't forgive. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Our brain is simply not built to forget. While forgetting would certainly make forgiveness easier, then we would rely on God to heal our broken heart. We wouldn't need him. If we just continually to forget, why do we even need to forgive, or why do we even need God to forgive us? But we're not going to forget, not when somebody hurts us. That's the one thing we hang on to. When somebody does us wrong, we'll remember that about a person before we remember anything else. But we have to forgive. Forgiving also is not excusing the offense, nor is it condoning the offense. So do not take revenge, my friend, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written in Romans 12:19, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Many think forgiveness somehow excuses or condones the other person's offense when they forgive, but that's not so. What you're doing is you're entrusting the outcome to God. Putting the consequences of another sin in the hands of God is a demonstration of obedience and trust in God. We have to trust and obey God to forgive just like he forgave us. I even wonder if forgiveness actually has more benefits for the ones who have been hurt. Because without forgiveness, the offense has a hold on us, and usually more so than the person who actually did the offense. They done went on with their life doing what they do, and well, here we are still stuck in this little attitude, this feeling of hurt and unforgiveness, and they don't even realize that we're going through all this. They need to move on. Ephesians 4:26-27 says, in your anger, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. When we hang on to anger, bitterness, and resentment, we're actually giving the enemy the ability to make progress in that area in our life. The anger, bitterness, and resentment will only grow. But forgiveness is the antidote. And more importantly, it's God's best for you. Another thing that forgiveness is not tolerating. Forgiving an offense does not mean tolerating that behavior that was hurtful to you. On the contrary, we are called to speak the truth in love. This is for the good of the offender and the offended. And in doing so, we mature as a body of Christ. Condoning the offense, the Bible actually condemns those who claim that bad actions are harmless or acceptable in Isaiah 5:20. Pretending that the offense never happened? No, we can't do that either. God forgave King David of serious sin, but he did not shield David from the consequences of his actions. Remember when the prophet Nathan said, went to Daniel and he was telling him about this man that had everything, but yet he took something from another man that just had one thing, and they was talking about what the man need, how he needed to be punished. And Nathan looked at David, he said, David, thou art that man that I'm talking about. God even had David's sins recorded so that they're remembered today. Read 2 Samuel 12:9-13. So God forgave David, but he did not shield him from the consequences of his actions, even his having his son, allowing his son to die, the son that him and Bathsheba had. God is not going to shield us from the consequences of our actions when we do not forgive. Also, we have to allow others, allowing others to take advantage of you. Forgiveness does not do that. Suppose, for example, that you loan money to someone, but they waste it and then cannot repay you as they promised. They're very sorry and they apologize to you. Now, you could choose to forgive them by not harboring resentment, not rehashing the matter with them, and perhaps even canceling the debt altogether. However, you might also choose not to loan them money anymore. And that probably would be wisdom. But that's something between you and God. I hear it preached that when you give somebody something, consider it as a gift. And if they give it back to you, that's great. But if they don't, then at least you won't be angry and mad at them because you already prepared yourself that they weren't going to pay you back. And there's some scriptures on that in Psalm 37:21, Proverbs 14:15, Proverbs 22:3, and Galatians 6:7. Another thing that forgiveness is not, it does not pardon with no valid basis. God does not forgive people who are guilty of willful, malicious sin and who refuse to acknowledge their mistakes, change their ways, and apologize to those whom they have hurt. Such unrepentant ones become God's enemies, and he does not require us to forgive those whom he has not forgiven. Whoa, that's heavy. God does not require us to forgive those whom he has not forgiven. So that means God, there are some that God hasn't forgiven. Why? Because they haven't asked for it and they hadn't become repentant. In several scriptures on that, in Proverbs 28:13, Acts 6:26-20, Hebrews 10:26, Psalms 139:21-22. What if you are the victim of cruel mistreatment by someone who refuses to apologize or even admit to what they have done? The Bible says and advises, let go of anger and abandon rage in Psalm 37:8. While not excusing the error, you can refuse to be consumed with anger. You can trust that God will bring the person to account. Hebrews 10:30-31. You can also take comfort in knowing that God will bring a time when you will no longer feel the deep pain or hurt that burdens you now. He promises that in Isaiah 65:17 and Revelation 21:4. Forgiving every perceived sight. Sometimes, rather than pardoning a so-called offender, we may need to admit that we had no valid cause for being offended in the first place. Huh, wow. The Bible says, do not be quick to take offense, for taking of offense is a mark of a fool. Ooh, I know we don't want to be called no fool. Ecclesiastes 7:9. So why is it so easy to hold on to a grudge? Being hurt by someone, particularly someone you love and trust, it can cause anger, it can cause sadness, it can cause confusion. And if you dwell on these hurtful events or situations, the grudge is filled with resentment, vengeance, and hostility will take root. And if you allow these negative feelings to crowd out the positive feelings, you might find yourself swallowed up by your own bitterness or sense of injustice. And no matter what type of relationship you're in, you're going to carry those same feelings of hurt, resentment, vengeance, and hostility into that next relationship and that next one and that next one until you ask God to deliver you. Some people are naturally more forgiving than others. But even if you're a grudge holder, know that almost anyone can learn to be more forgiving if they want to. Because there's an effect of holding a grudge. If you're unforgiving, you might bring anger and bitterness into every relationship and new experience, you might become so wrapped up in the wrong that you can't enjoy the present. You might continually just stay depressed or anxious all the time, or feel that your life lacks meaning or purpose, or that you're at odds with your spiritual beliefs. You may even lose valuable and enriching connectedness with others because you're focusing on the grudges that you're holding. Some may ask, yeah, I'm going through all this, but how do I reach that state of forgiveness? Forgiveness is a commitment to a personalized process of change. That means it's not about anybody else but you. So to move from suffering to forgiveness, you might need to recognize the value of forgiveness and how it can improve your life, and then identify what needs healing and who needs to be forgiven and for what. That might take a few sheets of paper on that one. Identify what needs to be healed, who you need to forgive, and what you need to forgive them for. I bet you most of the time you might need remember the person's name, but you may not remember what the situation is. See, God has already allowed this thing to start being removed from you. So now I'm mad at them, but I can't remember what I was mad at them for, but I know they did something. So if that's the case, just, we can't even remember what we're mad at them for. Okay, then it's really, really time to forgive. You might need to join a support group or see a counselor if you walk around with this much revenge and unforgiveness in your heart. You can also acknowledge your emotions about the harm that was done to you, the things that you do remember, and how they affect your behavior, and then work to release that for those feelings. The main thing you have to do is to choose to forgive the person who has offended you. Move away from your role as victim and release the control and power that that person has over you and the situation you had in your life. And as you let go of these grudges, you no longer define your life by how you've been hurt. You might even find some compassion and understanding. A lot of people start asking you how you doing. First thing you want to talk about is what somebody did, how you feel, or something negative that just happened in your life. That's holding a grudge. That's walking with vindictiveness. That's not being forgiving. Yeah, I know that forgiveness can be challenging, especially if the person who hurt you doesn't admit that they're wrong. So if you find yourself stuck, practice empathy. Put yourself in that person's shoe. Try seeing the situation from the other's point of view. I know that might be difficult, but just try it. You might like it. Ask yourself why he or she would behave in such a way. Perhaps you would have reacted similarly if you had been faced with the same situation. Reflect on times you've hurt others and on those who've forgiven you. I know that all of us have hurt somebody in the past. Maybe in the future, maybe right now. But yet, they forgave us. We expect people to forgive us, but then we don't expect to forgive others. That's not the way God would have us to be. Write in the journal. Pray. Use meditation. Talk with a person you find to be wise and compassionate, such as a spiritual leader, or talk to a mental health provider or an impartial friend or loved one who look at both sides of the cane, the car, the road, whatever. We are called to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. Forgiveness is canceling a debt. In other words, forgiveness is releasing someone from the punishment or payment of their debt or offense. Christ paid our debt of sin through his death on the cross. And it was through his death on the cross that our sins are forgiven now. Lord, forgive me. We're released from the payment of our sins. Jesus did not die on the cross for us because we deserved it. He did it solely out of love. What were Jesus' last words before he hung his head and died? Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. we think a person should know better, because when a person know better, they do better. But there are some people that actually feel like what they did was not wrong. And there's nothing you could say to convince them otherwise. Some of them are so hurt or wrapped up in their own self that they do things and say things that they really didn't mean, but they're too embarrassed to come back and say, I'm sorry. But we still have to forgive them. There are no conditions that must be met by the person that offended you in order for you to forgive. And this is good news. It means that we are never in a position that we cannot forgive another person. We are free to walk in obedience. Forgiveness is possible no matter what. Whether the offender is sorry or refuses to change, we still have to forgive. Remember what forgiveness involves. You're not condoning the wrong or acting as if it never happened. You are deciding to simply let it go. Recognize the benefits of forgiveness. Letting go of anger and resentment can help you keep calm. It improves your health. It increases your happiness. God says that in Proverbs 14:30 and Matthew 5:9. And even more important, forgiving others is a key to receiving God's forgiveness for your own sins. Matthew 6:14 and 15. So be empathetic. All of us are imperfect. It says that in James 3:2. Just as we appreciate being forgiven, we should likewise forgive the mistake of others. Be reasonable. When we have a minor cause for complaint, we can apply the Bible's counsel, which says, continue putting up with one another. Quickly, work to forgive as soon as you can, rather than letting your anger fester. I know some of you might be asking, what if I'm the one who needs forgiveness? The first step is to honestly assess and acknowledge the wrong that you've done and how your behavior or what you've done has affected someone else. And then avoid judging yourself too harshly. That means don't be too hard on yourself. Just take accountability for your actions and go from there. God said, if we judge ourselves, nobody else can judge us. And then he said, there is no condemnation in those who are called by his name. So we don't condemn ourselves, but we do have to commit to forgiving. And if you're truly sorry for something you've said or done, consider admitting it to those that you've harmed. If they don't know anything about you saying behind their back, then that'd be crazy for you to go up there and say, hey, I know you don't know this, but so-and-so and I was talking about you. Girl, how raggedy your hair looks, how ghetto you are, how you was messing around with this other person, man, and all this stuff. They don't even know you was talking about that. So don't go outside the box. Don't run up there and tell them something about what you said, and they don't even know nothing about it. Because then they're not even thinking about forgiving you. They're going to get mad and probably want to jack you up. I don't know, but we got to use wisdom also in our forgiveness. We have to consider admitting it to those we've harmed and then speak of our sincere sorrow or regret and ask for forgiveness without making mistakes. I did this to you because you made me mad or the devil made me do it. No, just ask them to forgive you and leave it at that. You don't give any excuses. You don't make any excuses. You don't try to make you feel okay to ask them. Another thing, though, you need to remember that you cannot force someone to forgive you. Others need to move to forgiveness in their own time. Just because you're ready to forgive, just because you're ready to talk about it, just because you're ready to move on forward, they may not be ready yet. So you have to give them time. Whatever happens, commit to treating others with compassion empathy, and respect, just like you want to be treated. There are many acts of forgiveness in the Bible that we can learn from. I'm going to share with you three greatest acts of forgiveness that were ever recorded in the scriptures, and that was of Joseph, Stephen, and, of course, Jesus. So let me talk about them a little bit more. Joseph forgave his brothers who sold him into slavery. Jesus, while dying on the cross, forgave all those who crucified him. Stephen, though being unjustly stoned to death, extended the gesture of forgiveness to those that murdered him. Joseph forgave his treacherous brothers. Joseph was a beloved son of his father, Jacob. He usually wore the multicolored robe his father gave to him. Joseph later had a dream from heaven that pointed to the events of the future, but his brothers seriously hated him for it. And out of sheer jealousy, they disrobed him in the wilderness, threw him in the deep pit to die a gradual death. Then on second thought, they changed their plans. They went and got him out of the pit and sold him to slavery. One thing led to another, and Joseph found himself as a slave in Potiphar's house in Egypt, because Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph so bad, and when Joseph chose not to fall into her, she told her husband Joseph tried to rape her. Subsequently, Joseph served a term in prison over that allegation of sexual assault on his master's wife, but after interpreting a couple of dreams while in prison, he was recommended to even interpret a disturbing dream of Pharaoh. And by divine arrangement, Joseph became the second in command in Pharaoh's kingdom. Years passed, several famines ravaged the rest of the world except Egypt. Egypt did not experience food shortages at the time because through divine wisdom and counsel of Joseph, a stock of food supply was always in Egypt. Then back home in the land of Canaan, food had reached an unbearable proportion of scarcity. And that's where Joseph's father and brothers lived. So this drew Joseph's wicked brothers to Egypt in search of necessary food. They heard that Egypt had a lot of food, so they went there looking for food. And as the prime minister of Egypt, Joseph, he had a position to take out revenge on his brothers and severely punish them for their behaviors, what they did to him in the past. But Joseph was a great man. He wouldn't repay his brothers in their own evil. Rather, he forgave them and showed them much mercy. Not only that, he let them eat at the king's table, and then he protected their future. Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they did so, he said, "I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." So Joseph was telling them that what you guys did only prepared me to the future and destination that God had for me. For 2 years there had been famine in the land, and the next 5 years there wouldn't be no plowing and reaping. The land couldn't even grow any crops. And so he said, "God sent me ahead of you to preserve this part of the earth and to save your life." Joseph forgave his treacherous brothers, and so can you. Jesus forgave those that crucified him. Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem and the neighboring towns doing nothing but good. He healed the lame, the blind, the deaf and dumb, and other people with diverse kinds of sickness. Jesus fed people in the thousands. He even taught them divine wisdom like no other teacher or prophet before him. He even raised people from the dead. But despite his widely circulated good deeds, the authorities of the day conspired against him. They found him guilty of trumped up criminal charges and had him mercilessly nailed to the cross to die alongside two condemned armed robbers. And what did Jesus say in Luke 23:24? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." You would think that Jesus, with all that heavenly power at his disposal, would severely deal with these people who unjustly crucified him. Instead, He extended uncommon forgiveness to them by pleading with the Father not to hold these people's sin against them. Wow. Can you imagine praying to God that even though these people are hurting him, to forgive them? I have a friend and her family has really hurt her in the past or whatever, and she constantly prays that God don't hold them responsible for what they do to her. I said, that's awesome. I probably said, Lord, whoop them behind and make them stand up and be straight and respect me. But no, that's not the type of God we serve, and that's not who he wants us to be. And then a third part of forgiveness was Stephen, who forgave those that murdered him in cold blood. Stephen was an unknown disciple of Jesus Christ. He went in and out with the apostles and the other disciples until the need to appoint deacons arose in the early church. Stephen was deemed a man full of good reports, wisdom, and the Holy Ghost. He was privileged to be selected alongside six other deacons to serve the food distribution ministry with the early believers. And beyond serving on tables, God's hand became mighty upon Stephen to the extent that through him, a great revival broke out in Jerusalem. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And as a result, many people turned to God through Stephen's ministry. And there was a lot of joy in that city. Stephen's increasing fellowship and the results and the citywide testimonies on the mighty acts he accomplished revealed a man who was operating by nothing other than the authority of heaven. But while Stephen was riding on this beautiful tide of evangelistic miracles, signs, and wonders he performed in the land, the religious authority of the day became offended by him. In the end, they had Stephen arrested, took him to the outskirts of the city, and brutally stoned him to death. But before Stephen yielded ghost, before he passed away, he lifted up his hand and he prayed for the forgiveness of his killers. Stephen showed such a great disciple he was by following the example that his master Jesus did. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus forgave his brothers. I'm sorry, Joseph forgave his brothers who sold him into slavery. Jesus, while dying on the cross, forgave all those who crucified him. Stephen, though being unjustly stoned to death, extended the gesture of forgiveness to those that murdered him. These three examined under this can never be missed out. These are three of the greatest examples of forgiveness in the Bible that you can read. I don't know if I could do that. In the light of these, can you justify any wrong done against you as you grieve, or as you have been hurt, as you have been misunderstood, as you have been talked about, as you have been mistreated? Can you thus justify any wrong that has been done against you? Or can you forgive those who have hurt you? Before I give this back to our awesome woman of God, I want to share a little testimony of forgiveness that I had to deal with. And I laugh as I share this testimony because my grandson, Andrew, I call him Drew Bear, he always said, Grandma, I like to sit and listen to you tell a story because you always got a story of your own to share. And I guess I do. I guess I do. God has allowed me to go through, and that's the key word, go through, because I went through, but I'm still here, still standing. And in this case of about forgiveness, this is a situation that was very crucial to my very existence. I wrote about it in bio 3 of my book, Faith is No Accident. I have four series of Faith is No Accident, 4 volumes. I also have a dream, which is not a dream at all, Harvey the Hurricane of Hope, and Marriage is a Lot of Work. still working on some books now, and I also write books for others. If you ever want to find any of my books, you can go to Amazon.com and look under my name, Diana Dungy, or you can even contact me on Facebook Live. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Faith Is No Accident Books, and I can either send you the books with autographed copy of them or however you want to do it, but I welcome you to look out and grab a hold of some of those books. A lot of them are my testimonies about God, what God has done through me, for me, through faith, through prayer. But anyway, at the age of 23, I was diagnosed with endometrial cancer, and I was pregnant at the time with my third child. In a lot of pain, losing a lot of blood, and the doctor's prognosis was the only way that I was going to live is if I chose to abort this child. Now, this was a super difficult decision for me for a number of reasons. First, I already had two daughters. Both of them conceived through sexual molestation. And here was a child that conceived through the love of the father and myself. The father had no idea that I was pregnant. And after learning that I had to abort it, I never told him. I just knew that he just knew that I was sick and that I was going through something. But I'll tell you, this would have been his first child ever. I was very angry, I was resentful, and I was vindictive toward the man who had sexually molested me, not once but twice. I was mad at men in general. Now, this is not to say that I traded men for women, so don't get it twisted. My intent was, early in my life, I wanted to go to my marriage bed undefiled, and this man took this away from me. I know this sounds crazy, but that was the only time I had a sexual experience, and occurred by the same person in two different incidents. But I'm not going to go into all that specific. You can have to purchase my book to find out everything about that. But I did go on a mission to make men fall in love with me so I could hurt them. Men treat women so bad, so I want to say I'm going to treat men so bad. But the Lord has something different in mind. And it was around Thanksgiving one year. I was living in another town where my second daughter was life-flighted at birth. She had spent 3 years in the hospital before I could even bring her home due to complications. And that's another thing you have to read about in my book. But anyway, my mother, family members all drove in town with my sister and our children. And the Lord told me at this time, through my mother, he told my mother that she told me when she came after she seen how sick I was and everything. And, you know, we have a praying mother. All my sisters and brothers know the Lord. We are a very close-knit family. My sisters and our brothers, we have a text line that we communicate and talk to all the time. We go and visit one another. There's 11 of us. Well, 10 of us now. Had a brother that passed away a year or two ago. But anyway, at this time, my mother and family came. We was having Thanksgiving together. Mom took me to the side, and she said, the Lord told me at this time that I can't pray for you. It's the time for you to stop riding on my coattail and come to him for yourself. And I got very angry. How is the Lord going to tell you to stop praying for your own child, especially with what I'm going through? Mom was adamant. When it came to prayer and her faith walk with God, she didn't budge. You couldn't pay her to go against the principles of the Lord for no amount of money in the world. Our mom was God breathing, God obedient. So after they left a few days later, me and the Lord, we had a heart-to-heart talk. He told me that the only way he was going to heal me from this cancer was if I chose to forgive all those people who had hurt me. I mean, this was a lot of people. The children's sperm donor, as I used to call him. The people in the hometown that accused me, mocked me, didn't know how my children were conceived, neighbors that I was dealing with, other incidents that occurred in my life where people dogged me out, taking my kindness and quietness for weakness. I mean, there were so many people. And I'm asking the Lord, how do you expect me to remember them all and then forgive them all at the same time? But the Lord gave me a blueprint. He told me to write down every person's name on a piece of paper that I could remember. And he even led me to the scriptures. He gave me step by step, step by step on how to forgive everybody. And then he encouraged me to look in the mirror every morning, call out the people's name, and say, I forgive you. And then what I was forgiving them for, so much more. I tell you, it wasn't hard, easy at all. It was difficult. It was painful. And it was something I just didn't want to do. But I did want to be healed and forgiven by God. So I had to do it. And you know what? I realized one day that the pain and anger was no longer in me. And then when I thought about the particular person and situation, that sting wasn't there. God had taken it away, and I can't even tell you when it happened or even how long it took. Then one day I went to a doctor's appointment. He came out shaking his head, and then the nurse wondered what he was looking at on the paper. She took the paper, and she looked at it, and they both looked at me, and they looked at then out of their mouth like they was rehearsing a song. They said, you are cancer-free. You are cancer-free. And after getting the clean bill of health, I found out that I was pregnant again by the same guy that I had just had to abort the child. This was, like I said, this was his first child, and to his knowledge, it was his first child. But in actuality, it was my fourth child, kind of one that I had to abort. But we were really excited about the baby. We were excited about the clean bill of health. And after the baby was born, the doctor congratulated us and said, at least you're able to go full term with this one in spite of the near miscarriage and with me having to put you on bed rest for the last 3 months of your term. Then he said something that just blew us out the water. He said, I really apologize that you had to abort your baby several months ago, but now you have a baby and you're cancer-free. As I said earlier, the father did not know that I had been pregnant with his child prior to this one. And his mouth dropped open, tears and anger filled his face, and he stormed out of the hospital. And we eventually talked about it, and we tried to make things work, but it was too much for him, and I understood. He played a huge part in his daughter's life for a little while, and then that slacked off. He came back several times, wanted to reconcile, but by then I had moved on. Had no desire to be in a relationship with him. He told me that he would never marry or have any other children unless I came back to him. This man was in a relationship with a woman for over 20 years prior to him dying from cancer. He never married her, never had any children with her. But one thing the Lord had allowed me to do, he allowed me to connect with them and via telephone. A couple of times I talked to him. And before his death, I led him to Christ. Not only him, but the person who fathered my other two daughters through molestation. We talked. I found out he was sick, and the doctors had gave him a bad prognosis. And prior to his death, I forgave him and led him to Christ as well. So at the end of the day, I'm telling you, you'll feel so grateful that the Holy Spirit empowers you to forgive. It's such a great feeling to release all the weights and thoughts about what someone has done to you. Be aware that forgiveness is a process, and even small hurts may need to be revisited and forgiven. Today, God wants you to know that forgiveness is more powerful than revenge. Vengeance only begets vengeance. It's a destructive cycle. But when you forgive, you inspire change in both yourself and the other person. Forgiveness has the power to transform people and create a better world for all. Forgiveness is a powerful tool. It's a powerful weapon. It's a key to your peace, your freedom, and your deliverance. The good news remains that God is with you in all situations, and he will never forsake you. He will give you all you need to be, all he's called you to be, even in forgiveness. Therefore, I tell you today, hold on to God, hold on to your faith and your righteousness, and the blessings of the Lord will flow nonstop in your life. Hold on to that key in your hand that will unlock the door to your deliverance, your peace, and your freedom. That key is forgiveness. And I know that you can do it because God will help you through it. Amen. I thank you for allowing me to come forth and share with you today. I pray that something that I said has caused you to want to go forth and walk in forgiveness. And Father, we thank you that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart was acceptable unto you. I pray for every heart, every listener. I pray, Father, that you will mend, restore, and put back anything the enemy has taken from them. I thank you, Lord God, for the peace, Lord God, and the joy that they have in their lives once they let go and let you be God. This I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, my sister, my friend, Minister Diane Benjamin, for allowing me to come forth on your broadcast. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. And that is my sister, Pastor Diana Dunchy. That was an awesome word coming forth that she allowed God to use her today. And forgiveness is a process. Know that when you forgive, you truly forgive. Know that is all for you and now on them. Sometimes we wonder why we're sick in our bodies. You know, sometimes we need to examine ourselves. And I just thank you, Pastor Dungy, for that testimony. Heavenly Father, I hold Pastor Dungy before you, Lord. And she poured out of herself, Lord, Father, as she allowed you to use her, Lord. Father, as I cover her under the blood and ask you, Lord, Father, to keep your hedge of protection round about her, Lord, Father. I ask you, O God, to refresh, refill, and rejuvenate her, Lord, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, Father, that she found it not robbery, Lord, Father, to come on here, Lord, Father, and give you a word, Lord. So strengthen her, Lord, Father. Continue to touch her body from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, Father, for enlarging her territory this day as she claims it in Jesus' name. Now, if you have any questions you would like to ask, just go ahead and press that one. Amen. Hello, are you there? You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Just look for that.
You run the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're alive.
Okay, I heard. I would like Pastor Dungy to pray for Diane.
Okay.
You can go
ahead. Yeah.
You said you want to pray?
No, she was asking you to pray for me. That's what she was saying.
Oh, most definitely. Father God, I just thank you. Oh, shadada shiri didi didi kashanta. Oh, shiri didi 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 kashanta. Oh, shanta. Oh, Lord God, only you know all that goes on within the heart and mind of your daughter. Only you know, Father God, all that has been done to her, even against her, Father. But, Father, you continue to strengthen her. You continue to keep her. You continue to help her stand. No matter how dark the night or how hard the wind blows, Father, I thank you that she may bend, but she does not break. Oh, Father, I thank you that you will strengthen her right now. Strengthen every fiber of her being from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord God, infuse her with your healing virtues right now. Infuse every bone, every ligament, every tendon, every cell, every organ, every tissue. Touch her, Lord God, right now with your healing virtues. Let your healing angels minister to her body right now. Lubricate the, Lord God, if there's any, Lord God, any friction in her body, any pain, any discomfort, we command it to loose its hold off of her right now, and we send it to the cinder and to the pits of hell where it belongs. Satan, you, we put you on notice right now. You have no place and no power, and any power that's being given to you, we snatch it back right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we cancel every plot, every plan, every scheme of the enemy that have been placed against your daughter right now. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for divine release. Release. Release, release her right now, Lord God, for anything that's on her that is contrary to your will for her life. Oh, Father God, we praise you right now for a joy, Lord God, unspeakable joy, a joy, Father God. Give her joy right now, Father. Give her peace right now. Give her healing right now. Oh, Lord God, we praise you right now, Lord God, that you're doing it like nobody else can. With a blink of an eye, Lord God, everything can change in her life. Father, do it for your glory. Do it, Lord God, because you love her. Do it, Lord God, because she's faithful. Do it, Lord God, because you said you reward the faithful. Do it, Father. We stand, Lord God. You said where two or three are gathered in your name that you're in the midst. You said one can send 1,000 to flight and two can send 10,000. But we send in every spirit, every pain, every discomfort, we send it to fight right now. We send it to the pits of hell. We say, not today, devil. You have no place and no power. Take your hands off of this woman of God. Father, we thank you for doing it like you only can, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord God, in advance. We thank you for the good report. We thank you for the praise report. We praise you right now, Lord God, that it's all ready done, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. It is so, and so it is. Ha, shada, da, shanda. Amen. 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 Thank you, caller, for having us pray for this awesome woman of God. She's always in my prayers, but there's no limit in prayer. There's no limit in what God can do. And I pray for you that you have the love and the compassion. Ha, Shanda, Shanda, the love and compassion in your heart, not only for our friend here, but for many others. God said what you make happen for others, caller, that he is making happen for you. Continue to keep your hand in God's hand. Don't give up and don't give out. Ha, Shanda, I thank God for strengthening you right now in your inner being. I thank God right now for touching you and that everything your hands touch is blessed. Go forth with those creative ideas. God has blessed you with many gifts and talents, and we stir it up right now in Jesus' name. We call you forth, sister. We call you forth in Jesus' name. Go forth. Don't let anybody stop you. Don't let them talk you down. Don't let them laugh and mock at you. God is already celebrating you, and I decree right now that you will be celebrated and not tolerated in this season. I thank God for you. I thank him for your love. I thank him for your compassion. I thank him for your empathy that you have for others, and I decree that you will have the same from others as you have given out in Jesus' name. Man will give unto your bosom a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I receive. I just thank God for you, Pastor Dungey, and for those of you that don't know, she also has a Blog Talk Radio, and her Blog Talk Radio starts at 11 p.m.
A.M.
Central Time, right? Correct.
A.M.
A.M. Central Time. And that Blog Talk is Faith is No Accident. And that call-in number is 516-387-1609. That's 516-387-1609. So don't forget, at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. That will be 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But come on, we're in Central Time, 11 a.m. Tune in. Again, that number is 516-387-1609. Again, we'd like to thank each and every one of our listeners that tune in today. And if you would like to listen to this broadcast again, visit our Facebook page at Logion International Ministries and click on that link and hear the awesome word that God came forth through Pastor Diana Dungy today. Join us every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Wailing Walls Prayer Conference Line. That calling number is 712-832-7144, code 3333#. Again, that's 712-832-7144, code 3333#. So come on, let's tear the devil kingdom down and take back everything that we have allowed the enemy to steal from us. Know that prayer is universal. We don't care what church you belong to. As long as you believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you come to wage war on the enemy and take back everything that we have allowed them to steal from us, come on and join us at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget, join Pastor Diana Dungy and her broadcast at 11 a.m. Central Time. Till then, be blessed.
My sister, you can't have. bless God.